the first chapter of the book of the prophet Zechariah. The book of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 1, reading from verse 7. Upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sebat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom. And behind him were there red horses speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. May God bless to us that reading from Holy Scripture. It was verses 7 to 9 which engaged our attention last Thursday evening. And I first pointed out that a number of visions were to come before us in this book of Zechariah. But although they were visions, that is, things which the prophet actually saw, nevertheless, it was the word of the Lord which was in very truth coming to him. And I took time to point out that visions were not unusual in the days of the Old Covenant. It was one of the means which God used to communicate his truth in the Old Testament days. But now, in the New Testament age, when we have the entire Word of God, no further revelation will ever be given. And for any to claim that they are now receiving further truth today is a most serious error. Indeed, as I pointed out last week, and they're not my words, they're the words of the great head himself, such as who claim to be receiving further truth in this day and age come under the awful judgment of Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. Coming on then to verse 8 of our chapter and to the myrtle trees, we referred to a number of scriptures and definition, taking a special note of those words in the bottom. And by thus comparing scripture with scripture and things spiritual with things spiritual, one could come to no other conclusion than that these myrtle trees represent the church. The man on the red horse was the leader of a troop of horsemen. These were on speckled horses. These riders were angelic messengers, as future verses show. And one of these amongst the troop, is continuously described as the angel who talked with me. He was the one who communicated, the one who spoke of that which the prophet was seeing. And this is as far as we got last time. Zechariah, viewing these myrtle trees, with the man who had appeared on a red horse now standing in the midst, and a number of angelic beings, probably on this occasion they were in the guise of men, they were standing around. And the prophet, in great bewilderment, said, O my Lord, what are these? And this communicating or interpreting angel said, I will show thee what these things be. And so this brings us to verse 10 this evening. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. We should note this. The prophet put the question to the communicating angel, one of the troop. O my Lord, what are these? But it was the man who stood among the myrtle trees who answered. And so before we go any further, we must identify this man. This man who had come forth ahead of the others, riding on a red horse, and who was now standing in the midst of the myrtle trees. So in order to do this, we must immediately bring in the next two verses. Shan't be speaking on them this evening, but we must bring them in order to identify this man. Verses 11 and 12. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, We have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years? So I say again, in this, that is the very early stages of this sermon, all that we are to extract from these two verses just now is this title, The Angel of the Lord. The Angel of the Lord. In verses 8 and 10, this same person who had appeared on the red horse was spoken of as the man that stood among the myrtle trees. But here in verse 11, he is styled as the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees. And it is vital to a right understanding of this section of Holy Scripture that we know exactly who is represented under this figure. One described both as the man and as the angel of the Lord. That is the angel of Jehovah. This one, although spoken of as the angel of the Lord in verses 11 and 12, is not the same person as he who is styled the angel that talked with me in verse 9. I said last week that he is to be regarded as the spokesman for that troop on the speckled horses. He was the one who was communicating with the prophet. And verses 9 and 10 makes a clear distinction between these two. Verses 9 and 10 make a clear distinction between these two. The angel that talked with Zechariah in verse 9 is not the same person as the man who stood amongst the myrtle trees of verse 10. And so having established this distinction, we will now turn to a number of scriptures which will clearly reveal to us who this man, this angel of the Lord, is. In passing, I might say that one of the meanings of the word angel is messenger. For a moment, we'll go back to the patriarchal age. And I believe that the very first mention of the angel of the Lord in Scripture is in connection with Hagar So we're back in the patriarchal age, the days of Abraham. And the very first mention, as far as I'm aware, of the angel of the Lord is in connection with Hagar. And there in Genesis chapter 16, four times is this angel of the Lord mentioned. In verse 7, verse 9, verse 10, and verse 11. Four times in Genesis 16 is the angel of the Lord mentioned. Then turning on to Genesis chapter 22, that wonderful chapter, the account of Abraham on Mount Moriah, in obedience to God, binding his only son Isaac upon the altar. And he was about to slay him, when in verse 11 of Genesis 22 we read, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the land, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Verse 15 of the same chapter. "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." The angel of the Lord out of heaven. And he says, "By myself I have sworn. Thou hast not withheld thy son from me. Thou hast obeyed my voice. I will bless thee. I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Well, surely, brethren and sisters, this is shedding some light upon our subject. Because great and mighty as angelic spirit beings are, none of these can speak after this manner. They're created beings. And that which is the most important of all for us to register at this point is that the angel of the Lord, who is addressing Abraham here in Genesis 22, says, "Thou hast not withheld thine only son from me." Say again, that's no created being. High ranking and all, and mighty beings as angels are, they cannot take such language as this upon their lips. "Thou hast not withheld thine only son from me." Now we might think of Moses there in the backside of the desert in Midian, keeping the sheep of Jethro, his father-in-law. Just as it is recorded in the third chapter of the book of Exodus. And there in the backside of the desert, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in that scene of the burning bush. And the Lord spoke to him, and this is what he said. Exodus 3 and verse 2. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. and the bush was not consumed. Verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptian. The angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses, and in the clearest of language he says, I am the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. These are the patriarchs with whom the covenant was made and confirmed. And so we could continue throughout the book of the Old Covenant, where again and again does this angel of the Lord appear to so many of the Old Testament worthies. And this will take us right up to the very last section of the Old Testament writings, which, God willing, in the months or probably years ahead, we shall come to, the writings of Malachi. And in chapter 3 and verse 1, of the book of the prophet Malachi, we read this: Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, here in language which cannot be misunderstood and which cannot be contradicted, the angel of the Lord is identified. He is the messenger or the angel of the covenant, the head of the true seed, the head of the true seed of Abraham. Not the earthly, not the sand upon the sea, but the stars in the heaven, the spiritual seed. And here is the messenger of the new covenant, the head of the true seed, the mediator of the new covenant, who would effect a far greater deliverance than ever was wrought in Egypt. For he would eternally save his people from their sins. Nevertheless, how wonderfully did those covenants of ancient times portray and foreshadow, and the writings of the prophets also foretold. Isaiah speaks of him, the same person, in chapter 63. Isaiah chapter 63, verses 7 and 9. Follow carefully the words as I bring them to you. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord, and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them, according to his mercy, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, Surely they are my people, children that will not lie. This is not the earthly people, you know. They are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. How tender are these words. The loving kindness of the Lord. He hath bestowed great goodness, says the prophet. They are my people. So he was their Savior. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. In all their afflictions, he was afflicted. Yes, he took our sins and our sorrows. He made them his very own. He was stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He saved his people, wrote Isaiah the prophet. Yes, and he bears them, and he carries them all their days. And Isaiah expands upon this in chapter 40 and verse 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Further still in chapter 46 and verse 4, and even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar heads, hairs will I carry you. I have made, I will bear, even I will carry and deliver you. Well, who is this wondrous, this glorious Savior and Redeemer? It is he who is described in this ninth verse of Isaiah 63 as the angel of his presence. The angel of his presence. How clear are the scriptures, beloved, if we will but search them. The Bible, as I've said many times, is its own interpreter. No man hath seen God at any time, states John chapter 1 and verse 18. No man hath seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Christ was the very brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person, says the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 1 and verse 3. Christ hath declared him, the one who was in the very bosom of the Father. And he's the brightness of God's glory. He's the express image of God's person. He is the angel of God's immediate presence, just as Isaiah had described him. He's the angel of God's presence, of his immediate presence. He's co-equal, co-eternal, co-glorious with the Father, the express image. Put so clearly in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, rather, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. However, the revelation goes further. John 1 verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The angel of God's presence, one who dwelt in the bosom of the Father, the eternal Word, was made flesh. He who was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7. Is not the picture clear to us now? This angel of the Lord, or messenger of the covenant, so often seen in the Old Testament, is a prefiguration of Christ. He's a prefiguration of Christ, who is God manifest in the flesh. the mediator, the man Christ Jesus. Deity and humanity conjoined in one blessed person. So, having an understanding of this, these verses in Zechariah will not be such a problem. The angel of the Lord and the man amongst the myrtle trees is one and the same person. The person being depicted is Christ. Now, the one described as the angel who talked with Zechariah was, as previously explained, the one who was selected, or the one who was deputized from among these many other angels who were present at that time. This one was deputized to act as interpreter, or he was the communicator. So after this rather lengthy explanation, let us just now recapture the picture. A vision was given to the prophet in which he saw a man riding on a red horse. And he came into the midst of the myrtle trees, and there he stood still. And he was followed by others who were on speckled horses. And Zechariah, puzzled at this sight, said, "O my Lord, what are these? What are these?" And this communicating angel, who was the spokesman, said, "I will show thee what these be." But then the man that stood amongst the myrtle trees took over. And he said in verse 10, "These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth." These words were spoken by the angel of the covenant, not the communicating angel. The communicating angel said, I'll tell you what these things mean." Then the man that stood in the midst of the myrtle trees, he took over. And he said, "These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth." If we do not keep these distinctions in our minds, and who said what, we shall soon be in a hopeless muddle in interpreting these verses. We'll get in a hopeless muddle. It was the one who had arrived on the red horse who explained that these angels on the speckled horses were a reconnaissance troop. They had been sent out by Jehovah. They have now returned from their mission, and they are ready to report to their supreme commander, the one whom we have clearly seen to be Jehovah's fellow, the angel or the messenger of the covenant. Now, whilst Jehovah had sent them, now they had returned, they made no hesitation whatsoever to report to this man who was amongst the myrtle trees. Didn't hesitate to report to him, because they knew that he and the Father were one. This mission upon which these angels were sent is very interesting, beloved. Very interesting. In that series of ministry which engaged our attention a few years ago, that series of ministry on Satan, the great adversary, we learnt that Satan and his emissaries walk to and fro in the earth. Satan's ambassadors. they walk to and fro in the earth. Ever are they engaged in relentless activity against God and against his people. The first chapter of the book of Job enlightens us on this. But the Almighty sends his angels out also, and they walk to and fro in the earth with unceasing, untiring vigilance. They're everywhere to frustrate Satan's designs and to defend God's people. Psalm 34 in verse 7 tells us, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." I do not want to go back into that series of the ministry of angels, but it's a very neglected line of ministry. There's great ignorance amongst the people of God concerning these spirit beings, both fallen and unfallen. "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him." That's you. That's me. Psalm 91 in verse 11. "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." Hebrews chapter 11 and verse, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. Concerning angels, the Spirit of God says, "Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Sent forth into the world, going to and fro in the earth. The great charge is the heirs of salvation, to minister to them, to keep them in all their ways, to deliver them, to encamp round about them. Our brethren and sisters, we little realize what we owe to these angels who are sent forth by God himself. They're unseen, but they go to and fro in the earth to minister to the heirs of salvation. Now here in Zechariah, they are also shown to be those who are sent out to survey and to ascertain a particular situation and to report back. Oh, it's not only their mission to encamp round about the believer, to keep them in all their ways, to minister to the heirs of salvation. That's part of their mission, but it's not the only part. And here they had been sent forth, a reconnaissance troop, to make a survey, to ascertain a situation and to report back. Was not this the case with Sodom and with Gomorrah? God said in Genesis chapter 18, verse 20, I will go down and see whether or not it is as the cry has come up unto me. And then in the next chapter we read, and God sent two angels to Sodom. They made the survey. He sent two angels to Sodom. This is exactly the picture of Zechariah chapter 1. Angels had been sent out by Jehovah, and they now return. But their report we will leave until next week, God willing. May what we have seen so far be of help and blessing to us all for God's glory. Amen. Hymn number 90, paraphrase of Psalm 121, and in the light of that which we have just seen concerning the ministry of angels to God's believing people, this is a very fitting conclusion to our evening service. Number 90. Unto the hills I lift my eyes. From whence doth come my aid? My help is from the Lord alone, who heaven and earth has made. He will not let thy foot be moved. Thy guardian never sleeps. With watchful and unslumbering care, his own he safely keeps. Number 90. Our Father and our God, as we are about to separate, we give thanks unto thee again for the wonderful provision which thou hast made for thy believing people on their pilgrim journey through this wilderness world. Thou hast made every provision for any and for every eventuality. Thou art the one that neither slumbers nor sleeps. Thine eye is ever upon us. Heavenly Father, thy good hand is ever upon us, and our blessed Lord will never leave or forsake. But in addition, there are these unseen multitudes going to and fro. They have been given the charge for the protection of thy people according to thy will and purpose. We bless thee for these things, and for the measure in which we can appreciate them. May our knowledge of them be deepened. So, our God, may we be brought into a closer alignment with thy will and with thy truth, the better fortified for the days which lie ahead, increasing in knowledge, growing in grace, and being strengthened with might in the inner man. So bless this truth to us, that which we have seen this evening. We bless thee for the messenger of the covenant, the one predicted as the angel of the Lord in so many instances in the Old Testament days, the angel of thy presence, one who was in the bosom of the Father, who came in the likeness of men, who stands amongst his people today in the midst of the churches. He it is who was afflicted with our afflictions, afflicted with our sins. He's the one who has redeemed us. He is the one who will bear. He is the one who will carry. And he is the one who will ultimately carry us safe beyond the river through the gates of the new Jerusalem. Jerusalem which is above, the spiritual. So bless thy truth. May the grace of our Lord Jesus, thy love, O God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit ever be with us, for Christ's sake.